I can't tell you how wonderful it is to look out and see your faces, to see so many people that I haven't seen in a long time, to see you all here together. And here we are in this beautiful sanctuary, sparkling and renewed. I got back from my visit with my family in Texas this weekend and walked into this building, and it was just a very emotional experience to see how beautiful everything was. Here we are in this monument to faithful Christians who 177 years ago began this church, and that quilt over the back door is a remembrance of their faith and a remembrance of our heritage. Here we are in this beautiful building that stands on a hill overlooking Griffith Avenue, that in 1953 our forebears had the vision to launch out and buy this land and build this proudly Presbyterian church building. And here we are today, gathering and celebrating our own stewardship in the refurbishing and renewing of our church sanctuary. By this, we are saying to our generation and to generations to come that this community of faith is important in our lives. It is not just the memory of our faith of our fathers and mothers that we commemorate, but it's a living, vital faith and commitment to God's purposes for 2021 and beyond. It's also fitting that we gather in this building for the first time in a year and a half on the Sunday that we commemorate the birthday of the church. We now have a fuller understanding what the psalmist felt like when he wrote, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." We gather on this traditional day that we commemorate the birthday of the church, and we celebrate the rebirth of our own church. The background to our reading today, there were three major religious festivals that the children of Israel observed, the important days that required the faithful to make pilgrimages to Jerusalem. The one we know best is the Feast of the Passover that we celebrate during Holy Week. There was also the Feast of the Tabernacles, but the one we focus on today, the Jews called Shavuot in Hebrew, and it's translated in Greek the word Pentecost, which means 50 days after Passover, and Pentecost is the actual Greek word for 50. It was originally a Feast of the Harvest, and that may seem strange to us in the spring, but this was the first harvest of spring wheat, and it was brought to the temple and celebrated. But for the disciples, this was going to be a harvest of a different kind. This very large group of pilgrims from many different lands who spoke many different languages were assembled. And suddenly, and mysteriously, they felt a rush of wind and flames were seen over their heads. The disciples began speaking in many languages so that all the people heard and understood what was being said. Peter and the disciples were recognized as Galileans. They weren't scholars from the major cities who learned all these languages. They were uneducated country folk from up north. The way, I hate to say this, but when we were in Texas that we talked about Oklahomans, and the way that maybe some Eastern Kentuckians might talk about people who live in West Virginia. How could they be speaking so many languages? Were they drunk? Peter pointed out that they couldn't be drunk yet. It was just 9 o'clock in the morning. On that Pentecost day, the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples. Peter stood up and preached, telling the story of Jesus to the crowds. They had come for the harvest festival, but this was the first fruits of the great harvest of souls. According to Acts 2:41, that is later in this chapter, about 3,000 people were added to the church that day. These people were Jews of the diaspora. Some of them were Gentiles and converts to Judaism, but they returned to their homelands and their synagogues with the gospel message. And they went to places like Greece and Italy, to Turkey, Iraq, Iran, Arabia, and as well as Egypt and Libya. What's important about that is those are all the places where the early church was the strongest. that came out of this experience. In March 2012, the National Geographic did a special issue called In the Footsteps of the Apostles, which they said these were very unlikely leaders, as the Bible tells that they knew more about mending nets and fishing than about winning converts, when Jesus said he would make them fishers of men. Yet 2,000 years later, the apostles and all their descendants are drawing in people from all over the world. So what does this have to do with First Presbyterian Church in Owensboro in this year? For some people, this story and this Pentecostal power means different things. We've heard of people that believe that if you're filled with the Spirit, you can handle snakes and they won't bite you. We've heard that we should be talking in tongues, and some churches do that. They in tongues that nobody necessarily understands, and go for ecstatic kinds of experiences. In England, this is called Whit Sunday, and mostly that is because people have traditionally worn white on this day to celebrate baptisms. This beautiful church that we celebrate today is only a museum. The Spirit of God is not alive and moving in our hearts and lives. So what are we to do? The first thing we need to do is to acknowledge that we can't do what God wants us to do here on earth in our own strength. We have to pray. We have to open ourselves to the creative energy of the Spirit of God. You know, we always pray before committee meetings and before worship, and that might seem very perfunctory. But those prayers are an acknowledgement that we can't accomplish any of the important things that need to be accomplished in our own spirit and in our own energy. All of us have tried working on things and run out of patience and run out of energy. And it needs to be God's energy and God's vitality that allows us to continue to do the things that really are important. The second thing we need to do is to understand that we are the disciples for our time. In our reading today, it's understood that Jesus completed his work by sending the Holy Spirit to the disciples, and now it was their job to continue his work. When Jesus left the disciples and ascended into heaven, he did not tell them that their work was done. He turned it over to them, but not in their own strength, in the power of his Spirit. In the same way this morning, we are here as agents of God's kingdom, to tell the world of God's love, to love each other, to love our neighbors, to help those in need, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God, to be the people who seek to be right with God and to be open to God's calling and direction for our lives. Third, God has given us the church, the people sitting all around you, in front of you and behind you. We feel God's Spirit when we are together, when we join in worship. We are energized when we do work together. What our building needs right now is our collectivity. The Spirit moves in mysterious ways. We do things that we can't think about even. But one of the ways that we can sense the Spirit is by our work together, being in the same place, drawing energy from one another. We can worship by ourselves. We can walk out to the Arboretum and walk through and feel close to God. We can do mission by ourselves. But there's a special synergy when we do it together. I remember several years ago, when our church built a Habitat house by ourselves. And I remember the years that we have collected all the groceries and put them in the fellowship hall and assembled all the baskets and took out food to 80 people during the Christmas season, and what that felt like while we were doing it. A choir is a really good example of this. In the choir, there are often some people that are more skilled than others. There are people who can make music alone, but even they do better with an accompanist. To do a choral piece takes everyone. Singers who can sing the high parts, singers who can sing the low parts, and everything between. Even the most talented, skilled singers cannot be a choir by themselves. It is always the case in music and in life that we can do much more together than the individual sums of the parts. This can be a time of revival. In other traditions, they actually have a series of meetings where they're called to the altar to repent and to reform their priorities. It's a time for us to restart, to renew, to reform ourselves. We're ready to enter this new chapter of the life of our church family. We've invited Matt Curry to come to lead us and to minister with us. May it be a time when we sense a fresh wind blowing. May we be re-energized and renewed. May we respond now in this time with creativity and the vitality of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray together. Holy Spirit, come down today. Let us feel the freshness of your mighty wind. Help us to wonder what you might have us do. Allow our celebration of this birthday, the birthday of the whole church, to be a rebirth of our own congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.